Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus told about a wealthy man who decided to fire a manager. Before he left, the manager cut some deals with his master's creditors, deals meant to curry favor, giving the manager options once his job ended. Today, we decipher why Christ commended a man who acted improperly. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today we turn to Luke chapter 16 for a lesson on getting investments right.
This morning's sermon is actually about money. I can imagine that you maybe brought a friend here today and you thought, oh no, not money. Because after all, churches are sometimes known for always asking for money. And then TV preachers come along and make it even more difficult for the rest of us because they promise you that if you send money to them, you're going to have all kinds of blessings that come into your life. But I talk to you about money because today is a day in financial uncertainty. I can't think of any topic more relevant. Because people today in the fluctuating stock market, they are wondering where they should park their cash. And Jesus is very interested in where you park your cash, very interested. And what Jesus teaches us about money is this, that what you want to do is to have a safe investment at a high rate of return. What could be more relevant, whether we have lots of money or whether we have a little bit of money, than to know that? Where can we put it in a time of financial turbulence? Jesus, however, tells a story in the 16th chapter of Luke, and Jesus sometimes surprises us, doesn't he? He tells a parable that you and I might not have told because it is very interesting. He actually uses a bad example to teach a good lesson. So with your Bibles open to Luke chapter 16, page 875 in the Bible that is in the seat in front of you, he said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And so the rich man called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in your account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do? Since my master is taking management away from me, I'm being fired. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what I'm going to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said, first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, look, let's not say 100 measures of oil. Take your bill and sit down and write 50. He said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said, look, take your bill, write down 80. Now the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. Wow, we wouldn't have expected that from Jesus. You know, the situation is the man gets fired from his management because he's mismanaging, not necessarily feathering his own nest, but he's mismanaging, and so he gets fired. But the owner says, okay, at the end of this day, you're done. And so the guy said, hey, I have a couple of hours. And so what he does is he asks people who owed money to the wealthy man how much they owed, and then he wrote down less because he said, you know, when I'm out of here, I'm going to need some friends to do me a good turn. And so I'm going to use the money to build friendships so that when I'm finished, maybe they'll have me in their home. And Jesus is not commending the dishonesty or the morals of this manager. And we know that because Jesus also goes on to say that he's a son of this world, as opposed to the sons of light. But what Jesus is doing is he is taking this bad example and from it drawing a very important lesson, namely that we should be using our money to make friends who are going to welcome us into everlasting habitations or eternal dwellings. So what Jesus is saying is we can't agree with the morals of this manager, but we can agree with the principle of using money well for the purpose of future benefit to others and indirectly to ourselves. So what I'd like to do now is to give you four lessons that we learn about money from this parable. And I might say that these lessons are utterly transforming. If we took them seriously, we would never look at our money the same way again, and we'd always be making better investments. So join me on this brief journey as we look at this passage. The first lesson, obviously, is this, that money is loaned to us. It is not owned by us. It is loaned and not owned. This manager was a steward. He was given responsibility to manage the money, but he didn't own the money. You know, on Friday, I actually went to the bank. I'm still the kind of guy, I had a small transaction to make, and then I took some money out of the bank. I know all of you used ATMs and all those things, put me in a museum somewhere, but I like to go to a bank. The thing that I'm noticing is when I go, nobody else is there because everybody else is using modern technology. But I saw the teller go into the till, and she pulled out a bundle of cash and rolled off a few bills for me. How much of that did she own? None. She's a manager. And if she were a dishonest manager, she wouldn't be there very long, but she doesn't own any of the money there. Jesus is saying this man didn't own any. In fact, later on, you'll notice what Jesus says in verse 9. I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. And he goes on to say, verse 12, if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, how are you going to get the true riches? Our wealth is God's, and we are managers. Now, we're reminded of that every 2 weeks when we get paid, because we get this pay stub, and of course, money is put into our account electronically. It's put in electronically. In my case, it isn't necessarily withdrawn electronically, but it's there. But already we're reminded that it isn't ours, because on the pay stub it says state tax, federal tax. I know we used to pay money to FICA. It used to say on the thing, FICA. I heard somebody say, I don't know, I'm paying money to FICA and I've never even met her. But there's FICA, there is the state tax, there is the income tax. I'm sure there is also the thumb tax. And if you're a teacher, I'm sure there will be sin tax. And you have all of these different taxes that we pay to the IRS. All of us have felt like writing to the IRS and saying, you know, I can't afford your services anymore. Don't you want to write that to the IRS? So there is already built into it, our money isn't there. It's another's. But the money that we do take home, all of it belongs to God. And if it is not taken away from us, we will be taken away from it. Because the day is going to come when we will die and we take nothing with us to the grave that is useful to us in that form. And so the whole point of the parable, one of the points is this, that the money is given to you, it is loaned, it is not owned, and no matter how stingy you are, it is not yours to keep. It will be taken away from you. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer, not right now, but I dare you to pray this prayer. I dare you to acknowledge the fact that everything that you have is not yours and it is God's. Now, it's easy to say that. You can say that verbally. But every once in a while, I give the money to God. Well, I know that it's His, but my heart wants to take ownership of it. I want to say, this is mine. And to keep myself from saying that, every so often, I need to pray and say, God, it is yours, it isn't mine, it's loaned, it's not owned by me, help me to manage it well. What a transformation that would make in your heart if you sincerely prayed it. Talk is cheap. But to make that transfer in our hearts and to understand that it is God's, whether we have much or little, will also free you of a lot of worry and a lot of concern, because you're not going to worry about that which belongs to God. We worry primarily about that which belongs to us. So make the transfer. Lesson number one. Lesson number two is that it should be transmuted. Money should be transmuted into better, profitable, safe investments. Now notice how Jesus explains all that. You'll notice he says, verse 9, I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. I'll read the rest also. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If you then have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, there's the statement, it doesn't belong to us, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Wow. So what Jesus is saying is, what we should do is to transfer our money to a safe, eternal investment.
Yes, my friend, you know, as a pastor, frequently I've had to speak about money to our congregation. And many people think that that is difficult, but actually it is very easy. I love to speak about investing money for the glory of God and the advancement of the gospel. So I hope that you tune in to Running to Win next time as we continue this study on this particular parable, a powerful parable that is told by Jesus about making investments that actually will meet you on the other side. It is simply not true that we can't take it with us, because we can. And also at the end of this broadcast, by the way, you are going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours so that you can listen to them again, share them with your friends. I want to conclude today thanking you for your prayers, for your love, for your investment. Together we are making a difference. God bless you, and I'll see you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer with Getting Investments Right, the 9th in a 10-part series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Next time, why it's true that, yes, you can take it with you. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.